From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
I was at a local golf course with my buddies, and we're at the driving range, and we see Biden like sort of down the other end of the driving range.
This is WHYY Delaware reporter Chris Barish. And the Biden he's referring to is, of course, former Vice President Joe Biden. It was the early 90s. Biden was a U.S. senator from Delaware. Chris had met him just a few days earlier at a meeting of the editorial board of the Wilmington News Journal, which Chris wrote for at the time.
He was by himself, and I'm with three of my buddies, and we're hitting drives, and I hit this drive like I dribbled it like towards Biden. Somehow it went sideways instead of straight, and it like he sort of had to like sort of like duck out of the way of it, and he looked over and he goes, "Hey, I've had a lot of reporters take a lot of shots at me, but never one on the driving range."
But Biden's habit of talking off the cuff has hurt him in the past.
In the 2008 race, he was talking to somebody about Delaware's growing Indian American population, and he just out of the blue he says,
"You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent."
You really can't go into a Dunkin' Donuts these days unless you speak have a slight Indian accent. Those kind of things have sort of like fed his image as this gaffe machine, which he admits he is.
Biden has risen from humble roots in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Delaware to just one step shy of the Oval Office. Now he appears poised to take that last step.
Two sources close to Vice President Biden with direct knowledge of the planning confirmed to NBC News the former vice president plans to announce his run tomorrow morning with an online video.
This will be Biden's third run for president after two disappointing campaigns in 1988 and 2008. So why is he leading in the polls right now? Will his history of putting his foot in his mouth come back to bite him? And will his more moderate brand of politics stand up against younger, more progressive opponents? Today on The Why, Uncle Joe tries again. Tamara?
Yes. Oh, good. It's working.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I'm a
no problem.
I'm a minute late.
Biden with Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent and co-host of the NPR Politics podcast. Joe Biden has done this twice before. He's run for president twice before. Has not been the strongest candidate in the past, but he's leading the polls right now. Why have things changed this time around?
Joe Biden is the biggest name in Democratic politics, probably, other than Barack Obama.
We are America, second to none, and we own the finish line. Don't forget it. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
You know, everyone knows who Joe Biden is. And right now, at this very early stage in the process, name recognition matters in polls.
Biden has a reputation as a friendly guy, a touchy guy, and we've seen how being too friendly can hurt him. There have been some allegations of unwanted touching. Could you just briefly kind of describe what's been out there?
Essentially, Joe Biden is a very close talker. He's a very effusive person. He is very touchy. And some people have come forward and said that they felt uncomfortable in interactions with him.
There was one incident that happened with a former Nevada Democratic Assemblywoman. Can you just describe what happened?
Right. So this is Lucy Flores. She was running in 2014 for lieutenant governor of Nevada. There was a rally that Biden attended. And she says that as they were preparing to go on stage,
very unexpectedly and out of nowhere, I feel Joe Biden put his hands on my shoulders, get up very close to me from behind, lean in, smell my hair, and then plant a slow kiss on the top of my head.
She says it wasn't harassment. She didn't think it was sexual. She did think it was incredibly strange and uncomfortable. It made her feel uncomfortable and disrespected.
To have the vice president of the United States do that to me so unexpectedly and just kind of out of nowhere, it was just shocking.
And there have been other people who have come forward with similar descriptions of Biden getting getting too close or being too effusive. You know, the way Biden explains all this, he doesn't deny that these things have happened. The way Biden explains it is just, you know, I just care a lot and I show it in ways that apparently some people don't like. And it's not clear how he's going to change his style or how he's going. He says he's going to try to change his style. It will be something to see how he's able to do that, because it's so much a part of who he is.
Have people regarded his response here as like sufficient, or does he seem like he's a little out of touch?
You know, the bigger issue with the Biden as close talker and unwanted embraces guy, the bigger story of that issue is just that Biden comes from a different era. Biden comes from way before the Me Too era. And he has sort of struggled to adjust to that. And there is some question about whether his response has been full enough, though in some ways the news cycle has moved on. But that's because news cycles change every 5 minutes.
One of Joe Biden's political vulnerabilities maybe could be how he handled the Anita Hill allegations against Clarence Thomas when he was chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Can you briefly kind of recap what happened and why he has gotten criticism for that?
It was a hearing where every single person, every single senator on the dais was a man. And the way the hearing was conducted, looking back at it now, she was not believed in many ways. The questioning of her was at times rather harsh. If that hearing had happened today, there would have been massive outrage about the way it was handled.
It is appropriate to ask Professor Hill anything any member wishes to ask her to plumb the depths of her credibility. Did he indicate why he thought you should see this material?
No.
Why do you think? What was your reaction? Why did you think he was saying these things to you?
Well, coupled with the pressure about going out with him, I felt that implicit in this discussion.
What isn't clear yet is, like, what happens if this shows up in ads? Is there something from that hearing that is going to strike modern eyes and ears in a different way if it shows up in a campaign ad?
This is a pretty diverse field. You have several women, several people of color. Joe Biden is an older white guy. How is that playing right now?
You know, I interviewed this group of about 10 students at the University of Iowa a few weeks ago. And I was just sort of running through the names of Democratic candidates, or in Biden's case, potential Democratic candidates. This was actually shortly before the touching story blew up. And I just mentioned Biden's name, and one of the young people, like, slapped her forehead. And I'm like, what's going on here? The response that a lot of these younger voters had to hearing, to talking about Biden, was sort of like, well, I love Joe Biden, or Joe Biden's great. He was vice president for a big part of my life, but we need something new. And you hear that a lot, particularly from younger voters who are just not excited about the idea of, you know, another person in their 70s running for president.
How much of the Democratic Party do those younger voters represent? I mean, is Joe Biden's, I mean, he is maybe more centrist than a lot of the candidates in the field right now. And there's certainly the perception that that's the way the party's moving. But is there still a big moderate wing of the party?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Obviously, the left of the party, they are getting a lot of attention and making a lot of noise. And in part, you know, Republicans want to make sure they get a lot of attention and make a lot of noise. But in terms of the actual Democratic electorate, if you look at the candidates over the years who Democrats have nominated, they have not typically gone with the candidate who has the most liberal proposals. You know, they have typically fallen back to the idea of, you know, a moderate would be more electable. And at the moment, if you talk to voters and also polls, but I've talked to a lot of voters, and it's like almost cliche at this point. They keep saying, the most important quality of the candidate who I want to be the Democratic nominee is someone who can beat Donald Trump. But what does that mean? And I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what that means. I think Democrats are really conflicted and they don't know what they want and they can't quite figure out what electability means. But the case that Biden is going to be making is that electability means, you know, someone who can get things done, someone who believes in government, someone who isn't going to smash everything and break everything, someone who can be reassuring.
You know, one of the things I find interesting about Joe Biden running for president again is President Obama tapped Joe Biden to be vice president largely because he thought he could appeal to the sort of voters in swing states, in the Rust Belt, in places like Michigan and Ohio. And those are the voters who overwhelmingly went for Donald Trump in 2016. And many said they did that because they felt Obama had let them down. How closely do you think Joe Biden will be tied to President Obama in this primary?
You know, Obama isn't so much a primary issue, but he could be a general election issue. The reality is that President Trump is going to find a way. I mean, it would be an easy case for him to tie Biden to Obama, but he's going to try to tie any Democratic candidate to Obama or anyone else who he thinks would be bad. He's going to call him a socialist no matter who it is.
Is there less of a case to be made that Joe Biden is a socialist than maybe some of the other candidates?
Yeah. Though, interestingly, Biden is moving some of his positions to the left as he sort of calibrates and gets in position to make this run.
I'm told I get criticized by the new left. I have the most progressive record of anybody running for the United, if anybody who would run.
You know, I think that the biggest question with Biden has this pretty big piece of the polls. He's right there at the top. And the question is whether it's real or not. Hillary Clinton, for, you know, all of her flaws and she didn't win, she had people actively recruiting her to run for president. And there's not like a huge groundswell of people begging Biden to run for president. So what just really is hard to know is whether that chunk of the polls that he has at the top, whether that is durable, whether that is based on some hidden well of support for Biden, or whether it is purely name ID and it's going to disappear.
Tamara, thank you so much for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.